Aren't you glad we can put our trust in the Lord? He's our help. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. My wife flew out to Albuquerque, New Mexico to babysit for a few days, which has left me somewhat alone. Zach shows up every once in a while, but I'm alone a lot. And one advantage of that is you have more time, and more time to focus. I have been doing a devotion every day this week on the radio at 9:45, and I've been following with this theme that we were talking about Sunday night, and just kind of expanding on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's been my study. I have been looking into the Word of the Lord. I want to read a few verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them, talking about those unseen things. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When you start talking about all the ministries of the Holy Spirit, all the things that are accomplished in our life by the Spirit, it is a huge subject. It's a huge subject as far as the Bible is concerned. There's just so much there. And I know that we'll probably be talking about this for a few weeks. But just talking for a few minutes here tonight about the Holy Spirit that is the teacher, the Holy Spirit that is the illuminator of the Word, that turns on the light and causes you to say, oh, I've read that. I've read that a dozen times or 15 times or 25 times. But when you read it again, suddenly the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, speaks directly to you in the present circumstance that you're in. It applies to you and to your life in such a way that sometimes it surprises you what you see in the pages of God's Word, even though you're familiar with it. You've read it many, many times, but the Lord, by His Spirit, He illuminates the truth. He turns the light on, and suddenly what you have read before becomes something fresh and new. And that's a wonderful thing. Amen. The Word of God that never grows old. Amen. But is always being renewed to us continually. Now, let's talk a little bit about what took place there on the day of Pentecost. That Peter stood up and preached that day. He was unlike he had been before. He was obviously changed by the power of the Spirit that was in his life. That day, when he preached to that crowd of people there in Jerusalem, that the Bible says
that there was a response, that the people that were there, that they were affected by the words that he spoke. Of course, 3,000 people were saved and were added to the church, were converted. But it was the work of the Spirit of God through the ministry of the Word of God that caused their sinfulness that they were not aware of. They thought they were doing, for the most part, the Jews believed that what they were doing was God's work. They believed that they were obeying the law of God. But there was a revelation that came to them by the Holy Spirit and by the preaching of the Word of God that awakened them, that caused them to realize that truly they had crucified Jesus and he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. There's this awareness that came to that crowd of people that day. The Bible says they were pricked in their heart. It was just like they were stabbed in the heart. There was such a reality of what had happened and that they had been a participant in the crucifixion and the judgment and the sufferings of Jesus. And now they're pricked in their heart, like they're stabbed in the heart. And the Holy Spirit was accomplishing that. It was the Spirit of God that was convicting them and making them aware of what they had done and the awfulness of the sin. It says they were pricked in their heart. And then their response was, "What must we do? What do we do?" Amen. And that's the kind of response that the Spirit of God and the preaching of the Word of God needs to bring about. There needs to be that kind of a conviction that falls upon the hearts of men that to the point that they say, "I got to do something. I have to take action. I have to do something." And so when they said, what do we do? Then they responded to them that day and said, "Repent and be baptized." You need to repent of what you have done. And what joy came to them because there was a way that they could be forgiven for the awful thing that they had done. And it all came about by this ministry of the Holy Spirit upon the life of Peter as he stood up that day and preached. And when he preached, there was power, there was unction, there was a conviction that convinced those people who were totally unaware of the awfulness of their sin, and they became aware of it that day. But I want you to notice verse 42. This is all part of the response. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Now you have to remember that they didn't have the Bible. They sure didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have any of the New Testament. And they had the law of God. But it says they continued in the apostles' doctrine. So the apostles were teaching them the things that they had learned in those 3 years that they had traveled with Jesus. And so they were obviously preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and all of the principles of the kingdom of God that they had learned from Jesus. That was the apostles' doctrine. And so there was this hunger for it. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, really, evidence that a person has truly been born again is a desire for the truth. They have a desire for the truth. If you see someone that has said, "I'm a Christian," they have made a profession of faith, but they have no interest in the Bible. They're not interested in learning about the things of God or reading the Bible or hearing the Word of God taught or preached, then there's a problem there. There's a problem. That conversion is not a real Bible conversion. But if a person gets truly born of the Spirit of God, then they're just like a little child, a little baby. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby." It is instinctive. God put it in the nature of a little baby. You know, they don't have There's not very, most of everything that little babies are is they are just moldable. And you shape them and you mold them and you teach them. There's not very much that they have just because they are instinctively a baby. But there are a couple of things that they have instinctively. Babies, without teaching them, a newborn baby, a little bitty baby, is instinctively afraid of falling. Instinctively afraid of falling. Whenever you take a little baby and you just take them out and you do like this, they'll stiffen out. They'll throw their arms and their legs straight out. They don't even know what's going on to them, except they have this instinctive nature that God put in them, a fear of falling. Isn't that interesting? And it ought to be obvious that new little baby Christians also, that they also, they may not understand what it is or why it is, but they have this fear that has been put in them by the Spirit of God to avoid that which is dangerous and error. If they override that, then they'll fall right into error. But God puts it in that newborn baby who desires the sincere milk of the Word. Another instinct in a little baby is just they have a natural God-given instinct to nurse. A little baby, it's just an instinctive in them. They don't have to be taught necessarily. It's just there because they have this hunger, this sincere desire for the milk. So they naturally and instinctively will nurse. The same thing is true of a new Christian. They have a hunger. If they're born again, even if they're just a little spiritual baby, they have a hunger for the Word of God. An interest. They may not know all that much about it, but they have a desire for it. Amen. I love it when some new Christian, someone gets saved, and they come and they sit right on the front seat. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just could fill up all the front seats with new converts? And they're there because they just want to know. They want to hear. They're full of questions. And really, you know, babies are a lot of fun, but babies are one thing, majorly, a whole lot of work. Babies require undivided attention. They require so much time, so much work. Certainly they are the blessing of the Lord. But the same thing is true of a newborn baby that's born of the Spirit. It's a part of the family of God. They require a lot of time. You have to invest in them. You have to nurture them and care for them and minister them continuously. Amen. Amen. Newborn babes have a desire for the truth. What was put in there? How is that in their life, in their heart, in their mind? It's the work of the Spirit of God. Desiring the Spirit of truth. Desiring the Word of God. God placed that in them whenever they were born again of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God takes up residence in their life and they have a hunger for the truth. Amen. Praise God. So those new Christians on the day of Pentecost, even though they didn't have the Scripture, they just continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And apparently it was just like an oral tradition. It was orally transmitted to them. They just taught them the things that they had learned and the example and the principles that they learned from Jesus Christ. They just taught them because they didn't have the Bible or the Gospels or any of the writings of the epistles. None of that was available to them at that time. But there was this hunger. They wanted it. They were hungry for it. Amen. And they were blessed and they were fed through this fellowship one of another. Now, let me just mention a couple of things. One is, when you start talking about illumination, I want you to just beware. There's a term that a lot of people use, revelation knowledge. If you hear some preacher or some teacher talk about revelation knowledge, then you need to be careful immediately. You need to be very cautious if they start talking about revelation knowledge. Now you say, but isn't there such thing as revelation knowledge? Yes, I believe that there is, but I believe you need to be very cautious and very careful, because many times you can be led astray by people who become extra biblical. They go beyond the boundaries of the Scripture, or are not consistent with the Word of God. And Christians, especially young Christians, are very susceptible to that. They're very susceptible to that. They can fall prey to a bad doctrine that is outside the boundaries of the Word of the Lord, and they can be led astray. And before you know it, the enemy has got the upper hand and has done great damage in their life. Amen. And so whenever someone says, I have revelation knowledge, remember that that has to be always consistent with the Word of God. It can't go outside of the boundaries of God's Word. It can't be more than what the Word of God says. It has to be always totally consistent with the Word of the Lord, or it's not spirit revelation. And when I talk about revelation knowledge, my understanding of what that is this spirit illumination that God by His Spirit causes His Word to become fresh to you, new to you, alive to you, personal to you. God, through His Word, speaking to your present predicament, your present need that you're in, and you've read it over and over and over again, but now you read it, and suddenly it becomes a fresh word from the Lord to your need. And you don't change what the Word of God says. It becomes personal to you because God is speaking to you by His Spirit through the Word of the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. Praise God. You know, you cannot, the scripture here from Corinthians says that you can't even understand the Word of God except by the Spirit. Amen? The understanding and the knowledge of truth comes by the Holy Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Natural man, the carnal man, he doesn't understand it. He can't comprehend it. It's confusing to him. And that's why that many times people will take the Bible and they'll misinterpret it. They'll read it and they don't understand. And it comes by a revelation by the Spirit of the truth. But it's never going to be outside the boundaries of the Word of God. It's just by the Spirit it is causing the Word of God to become real and personal to you. Amen. John 16 and 12, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you. These are the words of Jesus, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He was speaking to His disciples before the outpouring of Pentecost. He said, there's some things you're not going to understand. They're too weighty to you. They're too much for you to comprehend or understand them. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. There will be revelation. Amen. Again, the revelation that's even prophetic. Certainly there are prophecies that are given in our lives, in our services, and there's biblical guidelines for those prophecies. So we're not afraid of a prophecy. We're to desire those gifts. We're to pray that we will have those manifestations of the Spirit in our lives, in our church. We need to see these things taking place. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and these other things. But they're never going to be outside the boundaries of the Word of God. Amen. I heard about a preacher who felt like that God gave him a word of knowledge that he was to leave his wife and marry another woman in the church. And he did that. He did that because he thought that was a spiritual revelation knowledge to him. You know what that was? That was deception. That was deception because that was outside the principle, the boundaries of the Word of the Lord. Whenever God speaks and gives revelation knowledge, it's always going to be consistent with the Word of God. Amen. All prophecies are for edification, and they bless the church, and they're used of the Lord to accomplish great things. But it's important in a day like we're living in right now, when there's all kinds of things floating around out there, that we be a person
not only consistently studying the word of the Lord, but also that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit of God is making us aware of these things. So when we hear them, that the radar, the spiritual radar goes off and you say, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. And you're not going to be sucked into bad doctrine because the Spirit of God that dwells in you is going to make you aware of the fact that this is not the pathway to follow. This is outside of the boundaries of God's Word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now, there wouldn't be this writing here in 1 John chapter 2. We wouldn't have this inspirational Word of God concerning the possibility of a seducing false teacher if it wasn't going to happen. We are living in those days. We are living in times when there are so many different things that are being thrown around out there. Be cautious, be careful. Everything that you hear over the airwaves, be careful. Stay in tune with the word of the Lord. Be attentive to the word of the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit so that you'll know. Verse 27, but the teachings which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Now, does that mean that there's not a place for teachers? Of course. He's put pastors and teachers in the church. So we know that there is a place for teachers. So what is he talking about when he says that you have this anointing upon you and you have not need that any man would teach you, but as the same Spirit teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, shall abide in him. Means you have the Holy Spirit in your life. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you can discern that which is wrong and that which is right because you have the Holy Spirit teacher within you. And you're able then to distinguish between those things that are wrong. Just think about the scribes, the Pharisees. They knew the law. Many of them had large parts of the law of God memorized and could quote it. They daily spent time, the doctors of the law, daily were spending time, you know, discussing and debating, and that's what Jesus at 12 years old, that's what he got into, was a little session with the teachers in the synagogue. And the Bible says he confounded all those teachers with his words. But that's what they spent their time doing. And it's possible to spend a lot of time with the Word of God and still go into error. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 of John chapter 5. Search the Scriptures. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't study, obviously. Search the Scriptures. And in John chapter 5, he is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's telling them, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And so they were ready to stone him. And they were so upset over what Jesus was saying and what he was doing. But he said, you need to spend time in searching out the Scriptures, and you need the revelation of the fact that they testify of me. This is talking about me. I'm the fulfillment of all of this. And they studied the law, read the law, but they didn't recognize who Jesus was. They didn't recognize who he was. That revelation comes by the Spirit, the fact that he is the Son of God. Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 8. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What is the psalmist asking the Lord to do? Lord, help me to see the truth, to see your word, that it would become real and alive to me. You know, they say that D.L. Moody was semi-illiterate. He really wasn't a well-educated man, or, you know, he wasn't a man of great intellectual ability. How did he have such an impact?
How did he influence in, you know, several continents? Thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were converted under the ministry of Moody.
By the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, his dependence upon God and putting his trust in the Lord. And I received the Holy Ghost in a revival meeting. The evangelist was an old gentleman from Texas who came up to the church that I was raised in Oklahoma and preached this revival. Don't remember not one message he preached. I don't remember much about it. I really don't. But all I know is things were happening in that meeting. He was a man of God. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that God was using. And actually, the pastor that I grew up under had a third grade education. And I don't mean that education is a bad thing. It's only bad if you put all your trust in that. But this man, my pastor, had just a third grade education, but I've told you how that I knew even as a boy of him going at the back of the church was his, he didn't call it an office, he called it his study, the pastor's study. And he would go in there many times on Saturday, sometime in the evening, and he would spend almost the whole night. Many times he would go home just in time to clean up and get ready to come back to church. He'd spent the whole night in the Word and in prayer, seeking God. Let me tell you, when he got in the pulpit, you knew it. You realized it. You sensed that he had been with the Lord and he had understanding of the Word of God and preached the Word beyond his, you know, even his natural ability. It was by the Spirit of God. Amen. We need Holy Spirit teaching and Holy Spirit illumination. I really do appreciate Brother Jack Bright. And I think that his greatest strength is that, you know, whenever there's been times before, whenever we would call, before he was teaching all the time, when we would call him and say, can you teach this week? If I called him on Wednesday or Thursday, he would say, oh, I could never do that. And I would say, what do you mean? Not enough time. I need the whole week. I've got to have the whole week. To pray and study and prepare. So I learned that if he was going to be the substitute, I had to talk to him on Sunday or Monday at the latest because he wanted to prepare himself in prayer and in the Word of the Lord. And so there is a spirit by which he communicates in Sunday school class that is a work of the Holy Ghost, a ministry of the Spirit. And oh, how wonderful that is. Amen. Praise God. Revelation from God. Holy Spirit teaching us, illuminating, revealing to us what he wants to say to us. The natural man understandeth, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. No doubt you've had that experience talking to people about the Bible who are unconverted. And they look at you like, you're crazy. What does all this mean? To them, it's just religious words. To them, it doesn't have any reality to them. But when a person is born again, born of the Spirit, suddenly the Word of God comes alive. And just as much as a little baby needs natural food to naturally be nourished, a new Christian has this desire. I mean a desire. If a little baby doesn't get fed when they're supposed to be fed, you know what they do. And when they're brand new, it's like every 3 hours. And if they're not fed, they are screaming bloody murder. They want their food right now. And that's exactly the way it is when someone is born of the Spirit of God. Sometimes they will, new converts will just almost drive you crazy because what about this? And question about that, and what does this mean? And there's such a desire, but we've been around it so long, we don't really have the appetite for it like we should. Amen. That explains why some people say, I don't need to be at church on Sunday night. I don't need to be there Wednesday night. Just an hour on Sunday morning is enough for me. It reveals a condition of lack of desire for the things of God. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, that you make the Word of God come alive to us. And Lord, that you speak directly to our needs and to our circumstances that we're facing right at this very moment. Thank you that your Word becomes alive and real to us. Thank you, Lord, for that Holy Spirit revelation, Lord, that deals with us, that speaks to us. I just pray, Lord, that we would develop a hunger for the things of God, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again and again, and thus developing this appetite for the things of God, for the truth of God's Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Pray with me that the Lord would begin to develop a hunger, and that the Lord would send people into our church that have a hunger for God's Word, a hunger for the truth. Amen.